Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus that you will just open the hearts and the minds of all of those who might listen to this podcast. We're going to try, as you know, Father, to jam 3 hours of information in 1 hour. That's just an estimation, but we just pray with your anointing that people will be able to receive it, remember it, and remember that they can also go back, rewind, and study their Bible along with that which I share on this particular program. Praise God. So, Father, please anoint the listeners. Anoint your people. There's an awful lot of information that's flying around on the internet. There always has been. But oftentimes, if not all the time, the information that flies around out there is not backed appropriately by Scripture. People are seeing dreams and visions. This is true. But unfortunately, it has a tendency to throw people a little bit off their game, cause a little bit of unnecessary worry, because it's difficult to identify the Scriptures, connect the dots between Planet X, understand the cosmic nature, really, of the sixth seal and the day of the Lord, which is embedded within the sixth seal. But anyway, Father, we just ask you to anoint us all. Help us to receive it. And in Jesus' name, we praise you with all of our heart. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. And we cannot wait to be counted worthy. We believe we will be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay, so this show should be appropriately named The 3 Days of Darkness. So hopefully I will not dork it up later because I, jumping around doing a whole bunch of things, I forget stuff. I'm getting older. Anyway, I'm getting a lot older. So anyway, I do appreciate your prayers for me, and I can assure you I am praying for you. All right, now, The 3 Days of Darkness. See, I've been doing this stuff for a really, really long time. And people were talking about the 3 Days of Darkness back in 2011, 2012. Done radio shows that were dedicated specifically to the subject. But I've learned a whole lot more now. And praise Jesus for that, right? And so it allows me to round off the understanding. I almost said the vision, but because I don't want to get confused with a godly vision. But the overarching biblical end times agenda. I don't know what the right words are, but how all these things unfold and where is it in the Bible? Now, we do know on account of what's known as types and shadows, that it is very common, Ecclesiastes 1:9 is your go-to verse for this. It is very common that our Heavenly Father will use things that happened in the Old Testament, and He will cause them to happen again in the New Testament, or, you know, Ecclesiastes 1:9 again. So please do take a look at it. I do not have all the scriptures queued up. Okay, this is a huge amount of information in a short period of time, but I want to dwell on that because it robs all of us of the time that we need to be able to touch upon this stuff. Now then, I'm going to start out, I'm just going to bounce all around, okay? But I'm going to start out with a rogue planet special that, by an impossible coincidence, God led me to. Now, you have to understand, I was studying at the time stuff like Nibiru, Planet X. I've been studying Nibiru and Planet X going all the way back. I mean, my goodness, probably 18 years or more. I've paid money to attend seminars on it. I have several books that I've read. But anyway, the point is, as best as I know, I don't know anybody who has spent as much time, with a few small exceptions, studying this subject. Well, I don't know anybody that studied it in conjunction with aligning it to the Holy Bible, the Bible scriptures, prophecies, dreams, and visions that align to Amos 3:7, where our Heavenly Father says something along the lines of, surely the Lord God does nothing without first revealing it through His servants, the prophets. Now, does that mean that everybody on the world, all the Christians worldwide, are going to be hearing that prophecy, dream, vision, whatever, that fulfills Amos 3:7? And the answer is absolutely not. The people that are not obeying Jesus and watching ye therefore, and they're falling into rabbit holes, or they're going out and listening to this, that, or the other thing on the internet, what happens is you get distracted. And that's Satan's best, I mean, my goodness, it's his very best weapon against all of us right now, which is why those of us who are still in, you know, what a lot of people would call corporate America or corporate Babylon the Great, work, you know, we're working. And if we're out there working in today's day and age, in today's fig tree generation, hold on just a second. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It always happens. Praise Jesus. So yes, yeah, so my the intensity of the workplace today, we're all very blessed if we need to work and God has given us a job. But I can tell you folks, if you're not working, you do not know what I'm about to say. Or if you work in a certain type of a profession, there's a collection of them where you're not affected by these dynamics. But if you're in a company that's trying to turn year after year 30% increase in profits because they want to go public and all this other stuff, which a lot of companies are all over the world, and then this is happening while the board of directors is intimately familiar with the fact that we've lost trillions, I believe the last count was $9 trillion in the stock market, while the entity that refers to itself as Donald Trump. Now, if there's any Trump left, which I strongly believe there really isn't, because when the Kabbalists do their black magic stuff, it is some of the most sinister, evil, blood rituals, black magic. They can astral project across the world. They can turn you into a reptilian. They kill the body. They basically build a fit extension using magic, okay, very satanic black magic, and then they invoke fallen seraphim, the dragons that flew around the throne room of God in the book of Isaiah, where it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who what, you know, is and was and is to come. Okay, those are seraphim, and when they fell, some of them did, okay, they are the draconians. They're the ones that have the wings and the horns and all that kind of stuff. And they're a type of a fallen angelic being that has the ability to manipulate mass and move through time and all kinds of other horrible things. I'm not going to get into all that. I actually have probably 75 pages of show notes that I've saved on just the topic of reptilians alone. That's not tonight's topic. Tonight, we're talking about the 3 days of darkness. I'm going to start out by playing for you the effects of a rogue planet. Now, this, oh dear Lord, does that say 13 minutes? Okay, so this would not be the one that I was actually hoping for. All right, praise God. I think I found the one that I need. I'm going to have to monkey around with the volume controls because the amplitude was not very high. Here we go.
Imagine a giant rogue planet sweeping through our solar system. Its gravity alters the orbit of the Earth around the Sun.
It's almost like taking a baseball bat to the Earth.
This new orbit creates a climate catastrophe that forever alters life as we know it, with extreme heat, giant storms, and widespread drought.
The nightmare scenario is that one of these big rogue planets drifts right through our solar system, either destroying the planet or ejecting it out of the solar system.
Humanity's foothold on the planet is more precarious than we think. Cataclysmic disasters have devastated the planet before and will strike again. Can we survive these catastrophes? This is Forecasting the End.
All right, so that wasn't exactly the one that I wanted, and I had it queued up on Blog Talk Radio, but that's okay. I'm not going to get into that. So basically, there's a scientific paper written by an Italian astrophysicist by the name of Iorio, I-O-R-I-O, I think it is, or something like that. I could find it, but I don't have time. In the Iorio paper, which was entitled On the Eccentricity of the Moon, or the Orbit of the Moon, he had used laser equipment to measure from the Earth's surface, of course, the distance of the moon from the Earth. And he determined that the moon was on an elliptical orbit around, this was many, 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 many years ago, like 10, 12. But anyway, maybe even longer ago, but in the abstract of his scientific paper, not only did he explain the mathematics, which is way above my head, about how he did this ranging with the laser equipment to prove, but also he mentioned in the abstract what the Newtonian candidates could be that might have caused the moon to elliptically orbit the Earth, which is a very serious problem because it causes major changes in weather, etc., etc. You know, so this is what's going on. It's Planet X and the effects of Planet X and its seven orbiting planets. Okay, Planet X is a failed brown dwarf star. It's minus 273 degrees Fahrenheit. It is black. And the only time that you can see it is when it's moving away from the sun, okay, and it becomes ionized. Ionization of a brown dwarf causes red iron oxide dust to surround all around it, okay? And it's dragging more trash with it than you could ever imagine in your wildest dreams. Also, it's highly magnetic, so what'll happen is it's going to pull the iron oxide dust out of the Earth, which explains why we have tributaries and rivers and lakes that have turned to blood. Okay, when iron oxide, and that's why in the second, Revelation 8, I believe it is, it's before the locust, where you have the second trumpet coming along. And it's something like that, which is like that of a mountain that catches on fire, falls into the sea, and the sea turns to blood, and all the ships and stuff are messed up and all that kind of stuff. I'm summarizing. That is almost certainly caused by some of the trash, the meteors, the various space rocks that are being dragged along with Nibiru as it's moving, and it's very close to Earth right now. So all this stuff is in live, real-time play, which is why we have signs in the sun and the moon and the star seas roaring taking place. Hallelujah. All right, now I can't dive too far into that because I've got to move into the 3 days of darkness stuff. But I wanted to introduce you to the concept of the fact that because of the presence of this incredibly highly super magnetic object, which is why they have the Lucifer attachment on the Vatican VAT in Mount Graham, which is an infrared attachment that allows them to be able to see the approach of Planet X. That's why they killed Admiral Harrington in the 1993, it was around about 1993. He told everybody he was going to retire, go down to Antarctica, because Nibiru, Planet X, and the solar system associated with it are coming in from the lower side or underneath the ecliptic plane of this particular solar system. Many of, if not virtually the vast majority, of yellow dwarf solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy are in fact binary, okay? And it's two solar systems that rotate past one another. Well, this one, Nibiru, is a failed yellow dwarf star, all right, which changes the visual dynamics and a whole lot of other things. And if you want to learn an awful lot about this stuff, please take the time to go to Freevee or Tubi. I think Freevee has it for sure. If you have streaming TV, you want to look for a television show. It's a series. It's two parts. And it's called Impact. Not Deep Impact. Impact. And it starts out in the very beginning with a bunch of scientists going, hey, well, something weird is going on here with the orbit of the moon around the Earth, which to me was like mind shattering because I already read the Iorio paper and had been talking about it by the time I even saw that. So please do take the time to watch that to get a little bit more information in your pocket over this event. Now then, I'm going to go ahead and touch upon, a lot of people say that, well, it's Nibiru that causes the 3 days of darkness. I've had other people who've had visions and dreams. I'm talking about, really anointed Christians that aren't weighed down by churchianity or deceptions that we've had on the show. I know a lot of them. Now, all of that, but everybody's every one of us, okay, we, 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet, as they ought to know. All right, then you've got Proverbs 25:2, which says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to search out a matter. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that every time that one of us who's, eligible to become a king, because we all become kings and priests when we move off into rule and reign with Jesus, and hopefully we're all part of the bride so that we can live in our transformed bodies inside the New Jerusalem, which would explain it why in Revelation 19-ish or 20-ish, I forget exactly where, toward the end, it talks about the New Jerusalem descending to earth adorned as a bride. Okay, I believe that that is a metaphor, because why would Jesus take the bride up to the marriage supper? We'd all transform into our light and love bodies. Okay, we enjoy our time with Jesus. We go through, the nuptial ceremony or whatever that is. None of us know. And then why would he send us back to earth to endure another Gog and Magog invasion? Have you read the end of the Revelation yet? Okay. So I believe this is just me. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ, the reason that says adorned as a bride, the New Jerusalem, which is humongous. It's almost like just about as big. It's a cube shape, and it's everybody's going to think it's like a bejeweled version of the Borg coming to the earth. And yes, there are going to be a lot of people alive on the earth when the New Jerusalem descends. Now then, that's way at the end of the Great Tribulation, okay, when Jesus comes with 10,000s of his saints, which is prophesied in the book of Jude. Now, I'm going to read to you something here. This is from God's Healer 7. Now, I want to let you know this, and this is not a dig. I'm not saying anything negative. This is common. I've seen it for well over 12, 13 years, where people who get prophecies, dreams, and visions don't really know. They know that the words that they're speaking, or they believe with all of their heart, that they're coming from the Lord. Okay? Wonderful. Praise Jesus for every single one of them that are doing it out of the kindness and the love of their heart and not out of deception. And there are a lot of prophecies, dreams, and visions out there that are being projected across the internetosphere, but they're not coming from the Lord. But if you don't know your Bible really, really well, you won't detect it. Now, In this particular case, I do not believe that Sister Barbara knew what she was actually prophesying. Okay? She said, and I don't even have the date for, oh, it says September 3rd, but it doesn't tell me the year. The time of indignation begins. Now remember that God usually prophesies, not always, please be careful with this, but it's quite frequent that our Heavenly Father sends a barrage of prophecies about a particular subject a decade before the events start to happen. But we're so close to the end right now, I have a feeling that that dynamic is going to change, if it hasn't already. Now, this was probably from at least 2014, 2015. I do not know. Might have been even earlier. Sister Barbara prophesied, the time of indignation begins. And then it says, as nations rise against nation, my will shall be done. Over the beast of the, and the armies of the earth, the trumpet blows. Okay, now these are references, interestingly so, if you know your Bible well enough, to the fourth seal, which is the beginning of World War III. We already see the beast of the earth rearing up against the human race. We see monkeys attacking people in Thailand and all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't have time to get into that. The rhinoceroses, all kinds of things. It's just absolutely insane. Okay, and don't even get me going on all of the UFOs and the fallen angelic beings. Okay, that's a whole nother thing. Okay, because when it says in Revelation 6 verse 12, make a note of this. We're going to touch upon this again. Revelation 6 verse 12, where it says that there will be a great earthquake, and the sun will turn black as sackcloth of hair. That is a reference to the 3 days of darkness. But the entire passage of the sixth seal, Revelation 6:12 through Revelation 6:17, is talking all about the things that are going to happen during the day of the Lord. Now, not so surprisingly, that great earthquake reappears during the Gog and Magog invasion. And we know who they are, right? Gog is Obama. And Magog is the synagogue of Satan. Okay, so now we've been given all that information, which helps us to continuously add more and more lines upon lines, precepts upon precepts, here a little, there a little. All right, praise God. Well, when Sister Barbara, whenever, how many, you know, decade plus years ago this was, when she said the time of indignation begins, you have to understand that for me, this sets off bells, okay? Because the indignation that's being referred to here is the same indignation that is referred to in Isaiah 13, which is all 100% about the day of the Lord. And it even talks about how God is going to send aliens of his choosing that are working on his behalf to the earth to levy judgment upon the earth, which is interesting because in Padre Pio's 3 days of darkness dream way back in the 50s, he called them evil angels, and he said it was very cold. It was a very, very cold, cold, cold night. Well, what's happening right now with the eccentricity of the Earth? It's not just the moon that has an elliptical orbit. It is planet Earth. It's all the planets in this solar system. They are now on an elliptical orbit going around the sun. Well, the reason why this is very, very significant is because the summer and spring. Okay, first, spring and fall have all but disappeared. We all know that. And summers have become blazingly hot, but relatively short in length. Winters, on the other hand, have been incredibly freezing cold, and they're getting colder and colder and colder and colder and colder. How many of these strange polar vortexes have we had this year? Excuse me. It's innumerable. I have no idea, but I was freezing down here. I had a space heater, and I'm in Tampa, and it goes from cold to hot, like Shazam, in a week, sometimes less. I have people all over the United States and different parts of the world that have told me things like, oh, it was 82 degrees yesterday, but now it's 32. And, you know, and this is all because of the elliptical orbit around the sun. When the Earth is close to the sun, it's hot. When the Earth is far away from the sun, it's cold. The problem is it's no longer just the tilt of the Earth that causes the seasons to go by. Now it's a combination of the tilt and the distance of the Earth from the sun. Thank you, Planet X, which, by the way, is the sign of the Son of Man in Matthew 24:29. And all the tribes of the Earth will mourn. Who would see, it's all there. Anyway, so you got that from God's Healer 7 from way back, the Wayback Machine. All right, and then we have another one. I am not absolutely sure who this is from. My bad. I'm usually pretty good about documenting that stuff. But I threw it into my folder, which has all the TDD stuff. TDD is a short for 3 Days of Darkness. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to, the way that this reads... Oh, I so dearly love you, my children, and long for time. I don't remember who this was, but was one of the very few that I followed very closely. I'm going to read some highlights. I have given you knowledge of events to come, and this is the order in which they will come. First of all, there will be a cataclysmic event that will affect all of mankind. Then there will be darkness over all the earth. Later on, a couple, sentences later, if you will, it says, the darkness that covers the earth will last for 3 days, and it is during this time that I will manifest myself to mankind. So this is like the final call, the day of the Lord, the great earthquake. That great earthquake is caused by what those of us who have studied prophecies, dreams, and visions for well over a decade know as the Efren Rodriguez vision of the meteor slamming into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Puerto Rico. When that happens, there will be a 1,000-foot tidal wave that washes over the east coast of the United States. 22 million people are going to die. NASA is going to be wiped out. The entire Earth is going to rock to and fro like a drunkard, Isaiah 24. Okay, this indignation is mentioned by name, by the same word in Isaiah 13 when it's talking about these alien creatures that our Heavenly Father sends to the earth, which Padre Pio referred to as evil angels when it was really, really cold, which was associated with Planet X, okay? So it all interconnects. So again, I wish if I had the time to go digging through over 1,300 pages of Microsoft Word prophecies that I've been saving over the years, I could tell you exactly who said this particular prophecy, but I don't have time. I'm sorry. And a lot of people don't understand the workplace in the world right now, but because the boards of directors of corporate corporations, this doesn't apply to people who have jobs in teaching. That's okay. You're blessed. Thank Jesus. You should be praising him with your hands in the air. It doesn't apply to people that are working as police officers in certain parts of the United States. Okay, the point is there are certain jobs that are affected by corporate America and the board of directors, and there are other types of jobs that are not affected by those things. When the board of directors sees $9 trillion drop out of the stock market, they start to lay people off like crazy, okay, and then the people that are in the workforce, like me, know that if we get laid off, we're not going to be able to get another job. There's no jobs to be had out there because everybody's buying the baloney that's coming out of the White House right now, and it's just as bad as Kamala Harris and fake Joe Biden. All right, so anyway, probably worse, really, when you think about it. All right, and of course, this is the time of the evening when every device I have starts going ding-dong, bring. So that's going to happen too, but I don't want to stop to cover it. All right, February 7th of 1950, we have Padre Pio saying, take care of the animals during these days. I am the creator and the preserver of all animals as well. He says, I shall give you a few signs beforehand. Now, one of those signs is that 24 hours before the 3 days of darkness, the sky worldwide will turn red. Now, that is not an uncommon phenomenon when you have something like Planet X getting very, very close to Earth, which is indeed what will be happening. So he goes on and he says, oh, and Bonnie, Sister Bonnie from Bond's blog saw the red skies 24 hours beforehand. Pastor Augusto Perez came on the radio show. He confirmed that the large copper spherical mothership spaceship that David Doetry saw for 3 to 4 weeks or maybe a little bit more after the spaceship shows up. And it turns out that Pastor Augusto Perez, he came on the show and he said, I had a vision of that same exact spaceship. And he said there were all kinds of different aliens, different species and spaceships that were flying around it. No wonder all the TVs of the Earth will be trained to it and everybody would be looking at it. So that's what I'm looking for, is I'm watching for that, because that's definitely our major sign that the barley harvest, or first watch Luke 12, 35, sorry, let me think, 35, 36, and 37. You got the second watch and the third watch, which Jesus comes back for and says, blessed are you, and I'll take you back to sup with me. But he doesn't mention the first watch. Why? Because they're already in heaven. That's the barley harvest. That happens before the 3 days of darkness. That happens before the great earthquake. The problem is that everybody gets, you know, a bee in their bonnet about the 3 days of darkness and about this and about that, but they don't understand that this happens after the great earthquake, after the meteor. It's going to cause a double mega tsunami. The La Palma volcanic mountain is going to crash. That's going to cause a mega tsunami to head simultaneously, while the 1,000-foot tsunami washes over Florida and goes up the east coast of the United States. But the entire world is damaged by this thing. It is unbelievable. Billions will die. Billions will die. And the Suriname vision of 1979, we had her on the show twice, and I played the program many times. She said that she saw both of the tsunamis taking place. The horror, the devastation, the magnitude of the cataclysm that is going to occur when that meteor hits the Earth can't be quantified. It can't be quantified. The entire Earth is going to be destroyed all over the place. Now, does it mean that wars cannot continue? No, it doesn't mean that. But it's going to be bad. Turns out that same great earthquake appears in Ezekiel 38, and I do believe it's 19, but skim through and double check me on that. Look for the words great earthquake, because at first it sounds like it's talking about Israel only, but if you keep on reading, like few people do, then you'll see that it's worldwide, which means it's the same exact earthquake. So the Gog and Magog invasion will be in play. It'll be happening in real time at the time that meteor strikes into the Atlantic Ocean and causes billions of people to die worldwide. Okay, but this is also going to be while World War III is in its deepest and darkest throes. Okay, and I've covered why, some other things, with the lady and the 10-year-old boy that was taken to heaven several times. And his mom said, well, where will I be when all these alien demons are flying down upon the Earth during World War III? And he said, don't worry, Mom. You won't be here. And I had another ding, 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 and I knew that was because she was raptured, which happens before the full swing of World War III. Now, is God going to allow us to stay here right up until the edge of it? Probably so. When do the aliens famously arrive on Earth? When there's a threat of nuclear war. So wouldn't that be the most likely time for this large copper riveted, metallic, which they have sculptures all over the world of. Just type a brass sculpture, brass metallic sculptures around the world, and enter it into Google and then go to the photographs. They're all over the place. The first two were at the United Nations and the Vatican Library. What a surprise. Boy, was I giddy when I saw that. All right, so anyway, Padre Pio goes on and he says, cover your windows carefully. He does not want, it says, my elect shall not see my wrath. Now, where is that in the Bible? That is in Isaiah 26, verse 20, where it says, go into your chambers for a little while until the indignation has passed. Those chambers are the bridal chambers. So that means the wheat harvest, which is the final harvest, which happens after the 3 days of darkness for approximately 40 days, which is covered in Isaiah 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. Okay, and I'll be reading that in a short. But anyway, here Padre Pio goes on and he says, the hour of my coming is near, but I will show mercy. The most dreadful punishment will bear witness to the times. My angels they're evil angels, who are to be the executioners of this work, are ready for their with their pointed swords. And it says, they will take special care to annihilate all those who mocked me and who would not believe in my revelations. Now listen, this is in perfect alignment with Isaiah 13's write-up of the day of the Lord. Okay, so now I'm going to go into a little bit more material because I don't want to run out of time. I really want this to fit nicely into a one-hour broadcast, all right, because people are limited on their times. Now, if you're blessed with one of those jobs where you're not getting smashed by layoffs and all kinds of awful, you know, 12-hour day work, working over the weekends, getting text messages from your boss at Saturday when you're still trying to rub your eyes and wake up and wondering what planet you're on, okay, praise Jesus, you should be doing somersaults of praise in your room, thanking God that you're not part of that. But for those of us who have boards of directors in corporate America, I can tell you it's a whole nother story, and I got a long list of names. In fact, I could bring them on the radio show, and they could all give you their testimony. So again, $9 trillion lost in the stock market, and people are saying it's going to get a lot worse. And we know what the agenda is. If you don't know what the agenda is, and you've drank the Belize Kool-Aid about Trump and everything, well, you're going to be completely caught off guard. And that's exactly where Satan wants people. Satan wants people so busy they can't study his word, they can't spend any time in praise, they can't dwell in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91, verse 1. They can't do any of the things that they can't. They can't watch ye therefore that Jesus told us to do. Watch ye therefore over and over again, he said. All right. Now, now that I got the rails greased, let me go over here to this write-up that I have. Let me see if I get the whole thing in this. Why isn't it? It's so confusing. Nope. Okay. It must be, yeah, I don't know. Hold on. I see what happened. The way that Google nestles together threads, and you can turn it off and get individual emails for every email, but doing what I do, that would be a disaster. So you have to know how to unnestle the threads. It smushes them all together into a single email, and it hides a lot of stuff, and you got to know how to uncover it. All right, praise God. So let's go ahead and dig right in here because of the time limitations that we have. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this email that I've been sending to folks because I've been getting communications globally from people that have been hearing all these so-called prophecies and visions about the 3 days of darkness. It's going to happen any time now. It's going to happen any time now. And they're all in a panic and their eyes are really big. And guess what? It's not correct. I've told people, I know really good Christians that were regular listeners of the show that have converted back to Hebrew roots. They may not even make it into heaven. I know so many believers that they would write me and tell me, well, now I believe in this and now I believe in that. So, and I'm like, I warn people, I've been doing it for over 5 years, warning people, please, the stuff that's out on the internet is very dangerous. I could give you all the data of how that happens, because when we don't pray properly, which most people don't, there's a paper called How Satan Stops Our Prayers, Combat in the Heavenly Realm. It explains from the viewpoint of a Satanist who used to stop Christians' prayers in the spiritual realm, where the demons and the principalities and the powers and the thrones and all that other creepy, weird, second-order demon stuff, it resides. It stinks. And even the angels don't like to have to go through it, but they have to. That they carry the answer to our prayers to us if we pray through. We have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We have to get on our knees, and we have to mean business when we pray. Okay, none of this mamby-pamby, you know, praying for like, you know, 60 seconds and think that your prayer is going to make it through to that. It's just going to turn out, it's not going to make it. The Satanists, it's just like the angel, the Prince of Persia, and when Daniel's doing the 21-day fast and he gets held back, he's literally being detained, and he couldn't bring the answer to Daniel's prayer down until he got help from an archangel. to set him free was because he was being detained. Well, this Satanist confirmed not only does that happen, but when the angel is carrying the answer to your prayer, you have to imagine it's like a glowing ball of light. And the angel has to go through the spiritual realm where the demons reside to get it to you. But if any of your, if you're really not pushing through in your prayers, what happens is it makes your angels more susceptible to attack by demons. Now, don't feel bad if you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues. That's okay. You can keep on praying for it. But, and God, we'll see. You know, don't get upset. Whatever you do, don't turn into a cessationist, because that comes as close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit as I can think of. And I pray in Jesus' name that that is not the case. There's too many people that believe in cessationism, which is absolutely a lie from Satan. All right, but anyway, let me go ahead and dive back into what I've been sending to people to help them a little bit. All right, so the 3 days of darkness happens during the day of the Lord between Revelation 6, 12 through 17. Revelation 6, 12, it says, "The sun will turn black as sackcloth of hair." Now, that's only one of many things that happens during the day of the Lord. Where it says that the stars will fall from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind, that is Satan and his fallen angels being cast down to earth, which you will also find in the last two metaphorical women that are mentioned in Revelation 12. Read it. I always wondered why the second woman, who's the wheat harvest, the final harvest, the second watch, okay, I always wondered why Satan spewed water after her. What's this water all about? And then it hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, the meteor smashes into the Atlantic and mega tsunami and 1,000-foot tidal wave. The water is going to kill many, many, many good Christians. But that's okay, because we have Isaiah 57:1. The righteous perishes, but no one takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Which is kind of an interesting sister verse to Psalm 116, verse 15, which says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints," because he gets to bring you home. So meditate on that one. Praise God. All right. So anyway, so I'm going to call out to your attention some of the key verses from Isaiah 13:3 to save time. I'm sorry, Isaiah 13, the whole chapter. Isaiah 13:3, our Heavenly Father says, through Isaiah the prophet, he says, "I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation." So these otherworldly beings are not fallen angels. They're not cursed by God. They rejoice in God's exaltation, Isaiah 13:3. Isaiah 13:4 goes on to say, "The noise of a multitude of the mountains, like that of many people." Not, it's like, it's a simile, like that of many people. So you ever heard large crowds of people talking and murmuring amongst one another? Well, that's a similar sound that you would hear when aliens by very large numbers are coming to the earth, because our God sends them to levy judgment against the people of the earth, just like Padre Pio said. All right, so anyway, it goes on and it says, "The noise of the multitude of the mountains like that of many people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together." See, from our Heavenly Father's viewpoint, the north, south, east, and west are different directions in the universes. And I'll just stick with our universe to avoid confusion. But there are multiple ones. And trillions of life forms and trillions of civilizations. And it's just unbelievable. And don't get me going on Genesis 2, verse 4, where it says, "And these are the generations of the heavens and the earth." When the Lord God Yahweh Elohim created the heavens and the earth. You have to understand these are generations. It's a gigantic metaphor of this cyclical series of events where God destroys the earth and recreates the heavens and the earth and destroys the earth and recreates the heavens and the earth. And you might say, how can that be? Aren't we the only pebbles on the beach? Maybe not. Okay, so Isaiah 13 verse 4, it goes on to say, "The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. Isaiah 13:5 says that they come from a far country. See, to our Heavenly Father, that far country's on another planet, way out there somewhere. They might even be on the other side of the Orion Belt, okay, in the nebula, in the Orion Nebula, which leads to that portal that leads to the eternal realm of the Creator, our Heavenly Father. Did you know that the benevolent alien species see us as royalty in the universe? And then you have 1 Peter 2:9 where it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Oh, but, you know, I'm sure that's just a coincidence. But anyway, we'll keep on going forward. So it says in Isaiah 13:5, they come from a far country, way out in the universe, from the end of the heaven. Now, this word is Shamayim, and in the Hebrew, when you study it with really powerful tools, which a lot of people don't have, sorry, but they don't, it says where the planets revolve. So it's talking about outer space here, Shamayim. The Lord and his weapons of indignation. Oh my goodness, there. That calls it back to the God's Healer 7 prophecy from 10 plus years ago, where it says, this time of indignation begins. Now, one of the things that, you know, when a prophet prophesies, when a visionary has a vision or a dream, nobody sees everything. They only see little bits and pieces. And that's why it's important for us to become kings. For it's the glory of God to conceal the matter and glory of kings to search out a matter. Hallelujah. And being a priest would be pretty cool too. But anyway, whichever. Let's be all that we can be. All right, now. All right, so anyway, Isaiah 13:5, they come from the ends of the heaven, the Lord of hosts, and with his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Isaiah 13:6 says, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Then you get the 3 days of darkness right in the middle of Isaiah 13. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. See, that doesn't sound like Nibiru blocking the sun to me. That sounds like supernatural. That's what I think Pastor Augusto Perez seemed to think with his visions that he had gotten. And furthermore, Isaiah 13:15 through 16, it says, is talking about these alien creatures that God sends for his indignation against the earth. It says, everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children will also be dashed into pieces before their eyes, their houses plundered and their wives ravaged. Did you know that in my 55-year-plus study of World War II, not once, have I ever heard a single story, not even a rumor, of a time when during war or the Bolshevik Revolution or whatever the case is, that anyone dashed a kid into pieces? These are aliens. It says so right in the Bible. All right. Now, we know that after the 3 days of darkness, there is a period of 40 days. Now, the people that go into the people that are still alive on the earth at the time that this happens, there's going to be a lot of dead Christians at that time. I wouldn't wish that on anybody to have to go through that. We all need to strive for the barley harvest. We all need to strive for the first watch. We need to be holy and without blemish. We need to practice righteousness all day long. 1 John 3:7, he who practices righteousness is righteous just as Jesus is righteous. It says he, but it's a capital H. Hallelujah. Now, after the 3 days of darkness, now I took a vision from a lady, and I forget her name off the top of my head. I think it was Susan or something like that, but whatever. She was given a mighty vision from God. It was so vivid, and she said her and her husband were in their house, and she said there were angels everywhere, and it looked like the most beautiful Christmas time that they had ever had with their family. It was so sparkly and pretty, and colors were everywhere, and they just stayed in their house, and they worshiped God, and they cried, and they worshiped God. But then it went on to explain how they went out of their house later. See, the thing is, when that kind of glory comes upon a person, the glory doesn't leave. Well, I suppose if enough years go by, it could. But initially, when people are taken to heaven and they're with, and when they're present in the glory of God, when they come back to earth, they are glowing with light. This is very common. So in this case, after the 3 days of darkness, there will be a period of approximately 40 days. That's what most people estimate, which is very biblical in its typology and such. Okay, types and shadows. That people, there will be another harvest of individuals. Now, this is captured in Matthew 22, and it's also captured in Isaiah 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. Okay, it says in Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise." Now, you got to really pay attention here. A lot of people read their scripture, but they don't really pay attention to detail. And that's a serious problem, because you're going to miss really cool stuff. Okay, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Lord is of the Lord has risen upon you." What causes you to glow? What causes you to shine? The glory of the Lord. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." There's your 3 days of darkness. "And deep darkness the people." They're going to be really depressed because they're getting slaughtered by aliens. "But the Lord will arise over you." You. It's not talking about the people of the earth. It's not talking about the people that are going to be saved and taken up to the wedding supper of the Lamb as guests for the wedding supper, which is captured in Matthew 22. Remember that Matthew 22 has two different groups of servants. The first group of servants that were sent out, they mysteriously somehow just vanish. Because I think it's verse 4 in Matthew 22, I think it's verse 4, maybe 3, where it says, "And then the great king sent out other servants." Other servants. That would be the wheat, the final harvest. Okay, and they would go out, and the people that they save, they go through the highways and the byways and here, there, and everywhere, and they find the good and the bad, according to Matthew 22, and they bring them back to become guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, which would explain why Jesus said the second watch he would bring them back to sup with him. Okay, praise God for all this. This is just amazing stuff. It gets me very excited. Now, anyway, so there's your wheat harvest. There's your final harvest. So all those people out there that are going, "When the missiles come down, we go up. When the missiles come down, we go up. When the missiles come down, we go up." Well, there's also some additional mysterious words that are embedded in Revelation 6:12 through 13 or whatever. And those words say, "The sky will roll up like a scroll." Well, I just got done watching a new documentary on nuclear missiles. A lot of top secret film has been released because they made top secret the films of the hydrogen bomb tests. Okay, so anyway, I was watching that, and sure enough, just like I've told people, if you go to YouTube, if you can find it, go to YouTube and just watch the nuclear test on Bikini Atoll. Look at any of those and watch the mushroom cloud rise up. The scroll, the sky rolls like a scroll. Well, how much more so when Revelation 18, which happens during the day of the Lord, and we know that because in Revelation 18, verse 23, it says, "And the bride and the bridegroom will be heard in you no more." Well, where... at what point does the bride have to be gone from the earth? The bride. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "We are not appointed to wrath." Revelation 6:17, which is at the end of the day of the Lord, says, "And the day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" That marks the end point for the bride of Jesus Christ, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, to be taken away from the earth, which of course is covered in Revelation 2:22, where it says that God's going to cast the people that don't behave themselves into the great tribulation, which by the way is applicable to the other six churches as well. But then there's a special group called the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3:10, where God says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will save you from the hour of trial that comes upon the earth to test those who dwell upon the earth." Well, if we're not dwelling upon the earth, we're not here, are we? Which, by the way, aligns up with the first woman. The second to the last woman in the metaphorical chapter of Revelation 12, where it says that she's taken away to a place of safety, away from the presence of the serpent, for a times, and half a time, where she is fed. It says she is fed. Why in the world would it say she is fed? Because she's at the wedding supper of the Lamb. We make things so complicated with preterism and all kinds of craziness, you know, and people trying to, it's not that hard, but we have to really pray. We got to be prayed up, and God will show us things. It's amazing. So we know when the angels fly over the earth in Revelation 14, which, by the way, if you use the NLT, the New Living Translation, you will see the exact words grape harvest. Those are the ones that have the seal of God on their foreheads in Revelation chapter 9 and are not stung by the locust. They are the tribulation saints. Okay? Doesn't have nothing to do with 144,000. Anybody who's telling you that needs to, please, flip your computer off in the name of Jesus and pick up your Bible. 98% of the stuff that's in the Bible is literal. Literal. But you have to know the literal. You got to have the alien component. If you don't have the pieces of the puzzle to make everything literal, because that's the rule of metaphorical exegesis, you have to know what is literal, and you got to use literal things to plug it into the Bible when it's talking about these different things. And then you only shift over to metaphor when there's no possible way it could be anything but a metaphor. All right. Which, of course, is the two witnesses. That's definitely a metaphor. And, you know, breathing fire out of their mouths for 3.5 years, that's a metaphor, but I have a pretty good idea what that is. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. I don't want to run out of time. But I do want to share this with you. Okay, so if you pull out, now if you're one of those fortunate people to have a large print New King James Bible, you would be able to turn to Revelation chapter 6 and you would see the subtitles. The first seal is called the Conqueror. The second seal is called, says it's Conflict of Earth, okay? That's a fiery red horse. In my opinion, that's Russia. Okay, don't get me going on Jack Van Impey and his 33.5 LP that I listened to when I was 10 years old that I ordered off of a 1-800 number because back then they didn't have anything but a, you know, vinyl. Okay, and I actually have a copy that I got off of eBay because I lost the original, but it says, it's Jack Van Impey and it says, The Coming War with Russia. But unfortunately, you know, well, anyway, we know so much more now than folks knew back then, so we have more data to plug into the scripture, which means the metaphors become smaller and far, far less frequent. Now, if you turn with your New King James over to chapter 6 of Revelation, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, the fifth seal, the sixth seal, and even the seventh seal, which is talking about the 144,000. Now, listen, I'm a literalist. Okay, and it was prophesied by J.W. Brooks in 1840 that there would be a, I'll read this to you out of my tagline on my Gmail account. Okay, so on my tagline, let me go ahead and open this up. It says, about, this is a quote from a book written in 1840, no kidding. Reverend J.W. Brooks, from the name of the book was The Literalism Elements of Prophetical Interpretation, 1840. And the quote is, about the time of the end, can I hear a big 10-4? About the time of the end, a body of men will be raised up who will turn their attention to the prophecies and insist upon their literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition. Now, if I go back and show you my emails over the last 12 years, you will see much clamor and much opposition. But that's all right. It comes with the, you know. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, now I want to go back to I want to lay this out for you in Revelation chapter 6. Remember that Jesus is the only one who can break the seals. But it occurred to me, hey, why can't the different events that are talked about in the seals of Revelation chapter 6, why can't those events happen at the same time? And then it occurred to me, Jesus can come along and snap the seals of the scrolls. He can snap the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, the fifth seal, the sixth seal. You can snap all the seals at the same time. But But the scrolls roll out in parallel. And the scrolls are where the content resides. That's why we see $9 trillion disappearing from the stock market. That's why we see the craziness that we see happening right now all over the world, financially speaking. Okay, that we know already what's going on. Netanyahu just came forward today and said to everybody that, that we're going to demand that Iran blows up their nuclear facilities while we inspect them. Now, you know what that is. That's just their way of guaranteeing, and there was a new agreement, a treaty type of an agreement that was signed between Russia and Iran that basically, just like within the last 24 hours, and it says that they're going to help each other militaristically. So they're, you know, Russia's going to join in with Iran. They're going to give them a bunch of equipment, which they've already been doing. Okay, so all these things are in progress. We could be tonight, Iran could get blown up by a nuclear missile that was shot by Netanyahu's jets, which, by the way, was saw by the prophet Dr. David O'Rourke. I believe it was 2010. He goes, "Let me tell you about the war with Iran. It was a historic fire. I saw two jets flying in from Israel," and they, you know, and he talks about how they shot. They had, it had to be. He didn't say it was a nuclear weapon, but I knew it was because they already said they were going to use a nuke. They said so. The bunker buster bombs are not good enough. They cannot get far enough down underneath the earth. And these are fortified bunkers. They need to take them out. They only get one try. Guess what they're going to use? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. And they've already used a nuke in Lebanon. It was a tactical nuke, but I have the footage of it on tribulation-now.org. The footage is right there. But you have to scroll down several pages. You got to keep on scrolling, and you'll be able to see it. The title says that there's a nuke, and you can see it. It's definitely a nuke, folks. If there's anything I know a lot about, it's nukes. I know what they look like. I know what the white flash looks like. I know that you'll go blind if you stare at the white flash. And I also know that it has a shockwave that shoots up above the mushroom cloud. And without those characteristics or attributes, it's just a big bomb. All right. So anyway, let's take a look at the Revelation chapter 6. So we already know that right now, as I'm doing this podcast, these events are happening today. Right now. All right, don't even get me going on the aliens and all of these so-called drones, which, of course, was absolutely insane for them to try to... And boy, we have short memories, don't we? But anyway, so the third seal is a focal point. The third seal is about scarcity on the earth. And it says, "Behold, a black horse, and he who sits on it has scales in his hands. And he heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius.'" That's a quart of wheat. "For a day's wages." What is that? A global financial collapse. But then at the end it says, "Do not harm the oil and the wine." What oil is that? It's the oil that's being carried by the wise virgins in Matthew 25, the bride of Jesus Christ. The reference to the oil and the wine is talking about us. So we're not going to get harmed during that time. Where the food's going to come from, all that kind of stuff. I don't know how it's all going to go down. But we got to be pumped with faith. We got to be pumped with praise. We got to be on fire for the Lord. And God will provide. He's a God of awesome miracles. I know people that were missionaries that had no food at all, sometimes for many, many days, and they would just put a pot on their stove. And the whole family would gather around, lay hands on the pot, and they would say, "Father, we're very hungry. In the name of Jesus, please give us food." And then they would all go to bed. And when they would come down from their bedrooms and they would look, well, lo and behold, the pot was on the stove completely full of food. That's how God works. I have so many testimonies like that. I could blow you away. But this is how I was raised. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the age of 9. My mom had to keep me out of school for 3 days. It's just amazing. But anyway, so the third seal is the global financial collapse, which we know is in progress right now. We already know the food is going through the roof. We all already know that, that the common man, the middle class, and et cetera, they're not benefiting. Nothing is happening. P. Diddy, no arrest. Epstein, no arrest. Pam Bondi, I have a photograph of her doing the Masonic triangle symbol. And every time Trump tells a lie in front of Netanyahu, it's easy to tell because he always flashes his little Scottish right triangle symbol. Okay, don't even get me going on Eric Trump and his wife smacking his arm at the inauguration because he kept on doing the triangle symbol too much, and she was like, knock it off, stop it. But we know. Okay, so then you have the fourth seal, which is the beginning. It's widespread death on the earth. It starts with verse 7. Okay, and in there, you know, it says, come and see, and I looked and saw, you know, a pale horse, and his name, he who sat on him was death, and Hades, hell, fire, you know, who doesn't think that a war with bombs and fire and people dying and the things that are happening in Gaza and all that other stuff, who doesn't think? And it says that they will die with a sword, so there's your bullets, or bombs, with hunger, that's not good, with death, of course, and then by the beast of the earth. So they're the animal weirdnesses that are happening across the earth. But then, immediately after that, because that's the beginning of World War III and the Gog and Magog invasion, we jump over to the Day of the Lord, which says, I looked and I opened and I saw, and it says, and there was a great earthquake. So that's Revelation 12. I'm trying to move my eyes up and squint them and see the verse. And I can, okay, so 13 is where the stars fall from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. Those are aliens being sent to. So remember that the alien movies, movies are prophetic. Okay, so Battle L.A., Without Warning, How the End Begins, War of the Worlds, to some extent, A Quiet Place, all of them begin with aliens arriving on the earth like what? Meteors falling to the earth. You think that's just a coincidence? A lot of people go, oh, that's the devil. It's lesser magic. Well, yes, lesser magic is true. But you got to understand how the druids operate and all that kind of weird creepiness. And anyway, trick or treat and all that. That's all part of lesser magic. Getting you to come to the door so they can kill you, all that kind of stuff. But you got to understand the druids. But I read books on these subjects. So when you look at the sixth seal, you got the great earthquake that's caused by the big asteroid that smashes in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Puerto Rico, 1,000-foot tidal wave washing up over the east coast of the United States, Babylon the Great. The whole earth is shaking, so all the brick buildings, all the concrete buildings, all the stone buildings, they're all falling apart like a bunch of Tinker Toys. I mean, it's just unbelievable because that's what happens. Brick buildings cannot stand an earthquake. Only wood frame can rock enough to stand them. All right, so again, then you got the sun turns black as sackcloth of hair. That's the next thing that happens after the great earthquake. Okay, so there's your 3 days of darkness. And then the moon turns like blood. Okay, well, we already talked about that with iron oxide. And then the stars of heaven fall to the earth as fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. And then the sky recedes as a scroll when it is rolled up. Can you imagine hydrogen bombs, not the regular, I'm talking about thermonuclear bombs. They're like 15 to 20 times more powerful than anything that hit Hiroshima or Nagasaki. These are things are monsters. Okay, and when imagine 50 of them hitting the United States of Babylon the Great at the same time, coming from Russian submarine launched nukes. Okay, which is why A.A. Allen in 1954 saw them like fish jumping out of the water, because they didn't have submarine launched nukes in 1954. Hallelujah. We know about all these things. God has already revealed it to us. It even says that they hide under the mountains and the rocks because they don't want to get. But wait a minute, what are the deep underground military bases for? Hiding from the nuclear war that's coming. That's why. All right, so this is an exciting topic. We've gone over time. I don't want to be this far over time because I have technical difficulties on my end. So in the name of Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name that you receive this. I will remember you in prayer. Please remember me in prayer. Praise God for every single one of you. I am on my knees praying for you continuously. God bless you all.